Is this the best marketing strategy in the world right now? We're breaking down the benefits and how-tos of being a podcast guest. Today's show, right here, right now, on Air Brands. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the On Air Brand Show. I'm your host, Todd Genetasio, and I have with me Josh Carey. We are missing our third partner in crime today, Mr. Eric Cabral, but he is well missed during the spring break episode.
I want to ask you something, Todd. Your opening intro, wonderful, as always, but I noticed a subtlety that I want to question whether it was deliberate or you're aware of it. There was a much more calmness and almost casual approach to the volume, to the energy.
Is that right? Yeah, I have to say it was not intentional. So that just is the way the universe is coming through me today, I guess.
Yeah, the cadence was even slower. It was a little more, but it was great.
Yeah.
Different.
Less coffee today, maybe. I'm not sure, you know. And, you know, we are coming off, you know, we did just do the Podmax show. For everybody, make sure you're subscribed to the Podmax podcast as well. So, you know, we're on game two of a doubleheader here today.
All right, which is nothing short of still a good time and full value of a show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, to kick things off, I started off saying, is this the best marketing strategy today, right? And so I want to go over, this is a little promo that we did for Podmax last year. But it really breaks down the essence of why being a podcast guest is so valuable. So, you know, what's the best, fastest strategy to jumpstart your marketing? Is it Facebook ads? No, but we do love Facebook ads. Is it SEO? Also great, but definitely it's a long-term play. So let's start really by laying down what it takes to attract and convert new customers. First, you have to have an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you enough to give you money and believe that your product or service will solve their problem or successfully transform their life. And that kind of relationship takes time to cultivate, unless, of course, you use this strategy. Number two, you have to have a clear, concise message that gets the audience's attention and turns it into interest. And number three, you have to have a way to get that message to that audience. And like I said, building a relationship with your audience takes time. But what if you could borrow the relationship and immediately have an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you? And Josh, that's exactly what happens when you're a guest on a podcast. You get to borrow the know, like, and trust, the credibility and expert platform of the host, right? A host has built an audience that's engaged. They trust the host. There's credibility there. They're saying this host is someone I listen to, the show I listen to, as a gatekeeper of sorts that is providing valuable information and insights. And so when you're a guest on a podcast, you get to transfer that built up audience relationship equity immediately, where you don't have to spend that long period of time nurturing and engaging every single relationship.
There's a few things at play here. One is that when you're a guest on the show, of course, like you said, you're exposed to their audience for whatever that's worth. You're also exposed to them as the host. They have a complete business ideally in and around themselves. So by you showing up powerfully and building that bond and connection could pay off dividends. Then also when you record that episode, you then have the leverage and power to take that episode and do with it as you will. For one thing, put it on your website under your media appearances tab. So that builds. And when other hosts are looking to book you, you lead them right there and it shows credibility, expertise. It shows you in that natural environment for them to be able to say, oh my gosh, not only is he well-spoken and he's got a message and great energy and passion, but he's got social proof. Look at all these other people that have had him on. Finally, the other point I want to throw into this is I've had some of my best tangible results as a guest, not from a traditional podcast per se, but certainly if I haven't guested or put myself in that seat, this wouldn't have happened. But I've been brought into already established communities that have regular training programs or guest interviews for their community. Typically, it goes live and it broadcasts into a Facebook group or a private Zoom session for the community. So I've gone in as a guest in those. And to this day, I still have people, hey, I heard you on that show. Oh my God. Or hey, you know, that kind of a thing. So you see the slight subtlety of a difference there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up some great points. The credibility of being on shows helps you outside of actually being on the show itself, right? By being able to have a list of, quote, media appearances, again, saying these people trusted me as an expert to come on as a guest, right? So you're showing the world that, you know, you're approved of sorts by these other people, you know, and it also gives you the opportunity to continue to level up. So I was actually on a show last week where to be on the show, I had to send them a few examples of other shows I had been on. So they were, you know, they're vetting their guests a little bit. And so, sure, you know, to have to make sure you have that, those previous media appearances as examples you can send over, just, you know, they want to make sure that it's not just any John Smith jumping on the show, but that it's someone who can handle themselves and be able to communicate and carry a conversation in a way that's entertaining.
John Smith is a great guest. I had him on my show. It's fantastic.
That's true. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all the John Smiths out there. I didn't mean to be, you know, exclusive of John Smiths, but that's true. And you also mentioned having the content asset, because something we talked about on the PodMax show today was that, being on a show, whether it's your own show or other shows, it gives you a leveraged asset that you can now communicate to the masses, right? It becomes a one-to-many communication form where you can use that to get your message out to multiple people versus having to sit down and take the time to have 100 one-on-one meetings. You can send this out to 100 people and get the same message across. So, you know, I really, truly do believe that this is one of the best strategies right now in the business world, and depending on what your business is and who your audience is, it could be the best, right? You know, everyone's situation is a little different, but it is something that every business and entrepreneur and marketer should be strongly considering right now. And so through today's episode, which is actually part two, last week's episode, check out on onairbrands.com/show, was part one, where we talked about having guests on your show. And so today we're talking about being a guest on a show. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of our listeners, they have shows already or they're starting their shows. And the best place to actually get more subscribers and listeners and viewers for your own show is to be a guest in other places, because podcast listeners listen to podcasts. How do you get in front of podcast listeners? You go on other podcasts. So, you know, helping to grow your own audience there is another thing. And of course, there's also the huge SEO benefit. If the hosts are publishing the content on their websites and linking over to your website, that's, you know, link building is a major key in search engine optimization. So all great stuff, ton of benefits to being a guest on shows. And it starts, though, with what kind of shows should you be on, right? So PodMax is world renowned at this point as a place that is amazing with pairing the guests and the host, Josh. And so what's the magic behind the right show that you should look to get on, right? Is it topic? Is it host? Is it vibe? Is it audience? Is it all of those things? What's the magic in matching the right show that we should look to be a guest on?
Well, thank you, first of all, for pointing out world-renowned PodMax. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have Studio C by Wally Conway, and he's international technically. You know, he's on the water there. So as far as I'm concerned, we're global there. You know,
yeah. And as of last night, we have a thread going with, he's in the Jacksonville area, and there's actually a thread going with our entire Jacksonville, Florida contingency, trying to figure out a date for an official
PodMax
meetup. What's up?
The PodJax, you know, PodJax.
Yeah, exactly. As Eric likes to say, for our official PodMax Jacksonville meetup, which really should be happening within a couple of months. And yesterday, Wally, who's down there, he replied in the email saying, I'm happy to host it on board Studio C. And that's nice. SEA, of course. I, for one, am a boat lover. I don't get on enough boats.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say I listened to the Hidden Entrepreneur Show last week where you also talked about your love and initial, you know, ambition to be an airline pilot. So now I know that, you love the air, you love the sea. Do you love the ground as well? I mean, or are you just...
I do. In fact, one of my future goals is to have a Class A RV. And anybody who knows that lingo, the Class A is your tour bus looking camper RV, right? It's the one from made famous, if you will, by Meet the Fockers or Meet the Parents. I'm not sure which one. Where I think it was the second one.
Yeah.
Right, which was what?
Meet the Fockers is the second one.
Yeah. Meet the Fockers. Yeah. So that's your Class A. And some of these, wow, make my old New York City apartment look. I mean, literally, these are not your grandmother's trailers or RVs. These are some like high end, classy.
Yeah.
Apartments in there. So yes, I do love the air, I do love the sea, and I do love the land. So I have thanks for noticing that.
Love it.
Where are we going with this conversation?
I can't even remember at this point, but let's get back to getting on shows.
I remember it was the right type of shows.
Matching. You know, so all right, this sounds like a great strategy. I want to be a guest on shows, but what kind of shows should I be looking for?
So I'll tell you my process, really, if I'm looking to be on a show or I get approached to be on a show, first and foremost, I'm going to look at their Apple Podcasts profile, right? I'm going to see, because that's an immediate gauge as to the quality and consistency of the show. I'm going to see how many episodes. Now, like we spoke about earlier today on the Podmax podcast, I don't care whether you're just launching and I'm one of your early guests or not, but I just want to know, there is a difference. Are you just launching out of the gate? Have you been at this for a year or two? So I'll look at the number of episodes. Then Apple Podcasts, you can easily see the rating and the number of reviews. If you have 4-point-something rating with double or triple digit number of reviews, it's probably safe to say that it's an admirable and respected show. Fine. Still might not be right for me, but so far, so good. Things check out. Then I'll start glancing at the episode titles and I'll see, how are they? Are they exciting to me? Are they intriguing? Do they make sense? Are they quirky? Can I get some sort of feel of a personality? Then I'll start reading through some of the descriptions that are all right there as I'm scrolling. Then I'll look over and see how many minutes is each episode. As a guest, you want to know that, whether then or before you hit record. One of the questions I always ask is, how long do we like to go? Are we going 15, 20 minutes? Are we going 45, 50 minutes or longer? What kind of a show is it? And then if all that checks out, I will listen and or watch some of the episodes. All the better. If I can find a YouTube version of this show, I want to see, right? I think that's the way human nature works. That's certainly the way I works. If I can push play and get a near instant impression, do I like this person? Do I want to spend time with this person? Do I want to be associated with this person? Does it make sense for us to connect? And that all happens relatively quickly and usually subconsciously. You feel a certain way. Oh, yeah, I'm going to lean in and look at this. And you start smiling. It's a good sign. If you're listening, well, you got to listen 30, 60 seconds and you know whether you want to be on this show or not. It's just that simple. I don't overthink it. And then I make my decision.
And, you know, I think that goes into being a good guest as well. So how important do you think it is, if you're going to be a guest on a show, to listen to an episode or two of the show so you're familiar with the format and stuff like that?
Well, it's extremely important, at least in the, like I just said, deciding phase. I need to know whether you do a whole co-host banter for a half hour and then you bring in your guest for 20 minutes. Do you do a whole Bible reading and then bring in your guest to discuss the Bible reading before you're going to interview? I probably won't be the best.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd be the guest there for that one, but that's, you know, quite all right.
Right. But you do need to, at some level, know the format, the structure, the vibe, the length, the value of the show. You have to. I looked at a show yesterday, in fact, that reached out, wanted me on their show. And I was almost ready just based on the email just to say, yeah, great, let's book it. But then I remembered my own thing
do
here.
A little vetting,
and I'm so glad I did, because I went to their YouTube channel and their episodes, majority were nearing 2 hours.
Holy moly.
And I'm like, that's a long time to be a guest on a show. And a few things happened. There's three of them that co-host the show. Fine. Not unheard of. No harm in that. But they spend the better portion of an hour, I think, before they bring on the guests. It's great. Okay. It's your show. Just tell me when and where to be. Fine.
Right.
But I had to pass on the show because the vibe and the energy between those three people, I wouldn't mix, and they're not probably not going to appreciate me talking about me and my children and how they changed my world and my life. It just didn't make sense. And that was an easy no.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a great, great marketing, great content. It attracts the right people. It repels the wrong people. And that's okay when we accept that, right?
Listen.
We're saying multiple times today, your vibe attracts your tribe. And that's, if you would have said yes to that and gone on there, it would have been a bad episode. You wouldn't have felt great. They wouldn't have felt great. It would have been a little forced maybe, or awkward, or just would have been ho-hum, right? And so knowing that ahead of time is great. Because again, you don't want people then to do research on you and they're Googling Josh Carey, and that's that, however the SEO works, that episode comes up and that's what they watch. And they're like, this guy seems a little awkward. It's like, you're a world-class podcaster. You're not awkward. You're perfect in every little way. But so
thank you.
But I think also what I always find interesting for shows I'm listening to that have guests, when they have like the same final question type of thing, like Lewis Howes always does this thing at the end of his shows where it's like, what are your three truths? Right. And some guests seem completely unprepared. Now, I have no idea what the show prep is. Like, does Lewis's team send them, hey, here's the format and this is what you need to know? But I always find it interesting in that show or any show where there's, they always end or have, like, we always ask our guests this question.
Yeah.
It's like, when you come on here and you're completely blindsided by that question, it's like, how are you blindsided? It's part of the format of the show. You should have at least listened to one episode to know that. So I would say, when you're looking to get on shows, make sure you listen or watch one episode so you get the format and you get anything like that. That's like, oh, they do this every episode, so I know. And then it also makes it fun, because I've been on shows where there's two hosts and I was asked to be on. So I listened to a few episodes and I got the banter and vibe of these guys. And so during the episode, I could chime in with I knew how to play the game with them. Yeah. And plus when I listened, I was like, oh, I vibe with these guys. I'm going to fit in and we're going to have fun. And so then it's always cool. And it's a very nice, flattering thing, I think, for the hosts when you're able to say something like, when you're the guest and you say like, oh yeah. And like in your episode, number 27, when you had on so-and-so, like that's a very nice, nice thing to be able to do as a guest. Right. So, all right. Yeah. So we've decided on, format, length, they're a valid show. They have some ratings and reviews, or you've been prefaced that it's a new show and you're trying to get on it. Mm-hmm. How do you then go about the outreach? So, you could do this yourself with some cold pitching. Do you go through booking agencies? What are some pros and cons on these types of things?
Cold outreach is great. I've done my fair share of that to somewhat successful results. You want to make sure that your pitch somehow stands out, is unique, shows personality. What I do is record. I have a 90-second video that I have recorded to send to any podcast host that I want to reach out to.
And is this personalized every time, or is this a canned 90 seconds?
It's not personalized every time. It is right now 90 seconds that will go out to any host. And it basically says, hey, thanks for considering me as a guest. Just figured that. And the reason I do it is because when I was getting pitched all the time, I realized that I'm just getting text here, right? I'm getting text with maybe some links and maybe the occasional link to a TED talk or something. Still not the medium that we're going to be on.
Very different.
Right, right. Everybody's done a TED Talk. I get it. It's wonderful. impressive. But that still doesn't help me understand if you're going to be valuable and how valuable you might be to my show. So after I was getting all these emails with just dialogues and I could talk on these topics and here's the still not enough for my money. I'm like, why isn't anybody? And then also on the other extreme, it's like, here are three shows I've been on. Now listen to 45 minutes times three to get a feel when, you know, the host probably isn't getting into
it. I was actually wondering that when I said I applied, but when I was on the show last week and they asked me for a few, I thought to myself, are they really going to watch or listen to all these episodes? But I'm sure they clicked through, they scrub a little bit to be like, okay, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Within 30 seconds in the middle of the episode, I can tell how you are. But I was thinking there's no real way for me to vet, to gauge. Now I'm on the host side from potential guests who are just sending me one sheets and text emails and some links to unrelated things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how they're going to be on my show. I don't know the vibe or the energy. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if I like them. Isn't it just like dating?
Yeah.
If we are on a dating app or something, we are going to message each other to start. I'm going to get to see some photos and some pictures, which is going to show me what you're like. And I'm going to subconsciously connect, relate, or like what I see or not. But then we're going to take that where? Before we go on a date, most typically, before we agree to meet up, what are we going to do? We're going to get on a phone call. We're going to get on a video chat. Now, yes, I know some do that pre-interview, but I think a lot of that is after you're already booked.
Yeah.
Even to get to that point. So I started feeling like, well, why don't I create a little 90-second video that gives a potential host me in 90 seconds. So you'll be able to see me. You'll be able to hear that I know what to do and I'm looking and sounding professional. You'll be able to hear my passion and my energy. I'm excited to be on your show. I know it's about serving your audience. So you can rest assured that it's going to be a great dialogue. I can talk about these kinds of things because this is how I'm spending my time. Thanks for considering me. I hope we get to connect soon.
Yeah.
Now that gives an impression of what I'm going to be like on your show, because that's an end result in real time to you.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think, you know, if, for everybody who listened to last week's episode, season 2, episode 7, where we talked about how to get guests for your podcast, you know, we talked about having personalized outreach and networking. And I think what you just described is so key too. And that's the biggest downside of booking agencies, is that booking agencies are essentially spamming out your information in a text format type of way, right? It's not personalized for the hosts. And so when you want to be a guest on a show, understanding, you know, find the shows. I think two things that are important now, you know, you found some valid shows, you know, you fit with their vibe. Obviously the topics are aligned and the audiences are aligned. Like, you know, it's great to do some work and be a guest on shows who maybe don't have an overlap with your audience if you're doing them a favor or benefiting their show. But if you are doing this to grow your audience, grow your reach, then being on a show where the topics align and that you do have an overlap in audience, and so, you know, you can easily get in front of those people and then they would be interested in connecting with you further. And reaching out to the hosts in a personalized way with one of these short videos, I think, you know, if you really wanted to take it to the extreme, you could do, you know, there's Vidyard, Loom, Dub, all these different personalized video apps that make it super easy in your browser. You hit a button and you record. What if you did a screen share with your video? You know, you have your video camera with your face in the corner, and the screen share was of their website or of their show. And you said, hey, Josh, I just listened to a few episodes of The Hidden Entrepreneur, and man, I loved it. Episode number whatever, where you talked about wanting to be an airline pilot. It reminded me of Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio, and that was, you know, I love being on planes too. That was so cool. You know, I'm looking to really get my message out about how I became an entrepreneur. And I think it would be a great alignment with your show, and your audience would get a lot of value out of it. You know, if you'd be interested in having me on as a guest, I'd love to chat a little more and talk about what we could go through. Let me know and hit reply. I look forward to hearing from you. Either way, love your show. Keep up the great work.
What'd that take? 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. And something like that would be amazing to receive as a host, because imagine the screenshot, like you know, and then these tools let you put a little image GIF in the email so you can see, oh, that's my show. So now it's highly relevant. This is not a spam email that's been blasted out. This, look, there's my website, there's my logo, there's my, you know, whatever. That's going to hook you in, and then you click on it to watch and they're speaking directly to you. I mean, yeah, this takes some work to be able to do it, but if you really want to go in on getting the benefits of reaching out, this is how you can really stack the deck in your favor for success to get accepted on other shows, get the attention of other hosts and stuff like that. So, you know, we mentioned booking agencies. They're fine if you have a lot more money than time, and sure, they're going to just basically load up their outbound email tools and start spamming people with your name and link. And some people will read those emails, some will not. It's basically a volume game. They're going to email 1,000 people. You'll get on your guaranteed 3 shows, and it is what it is. But how much of a match and how great is it going to be as a vibe, you know, all that kind of thing. Much better when you're able to have, you know, a little more immersion in the process. But I think part of it too, one of the things we talked about last week was getting guests on your show to tap into your network. And the same thing goes vice versa, is tapping into your network. Who do you know that has a show, or friends of friends that have a show, which can be a difficult thing when you're first starting out in this world. But then that's where you take a different look and see, where can I join communities of these things? And of course, we're biased, but PodMax being the best community for this kind of thing. So if you guys want to join that, that's podmax.co to check out when our next event's going to be. But at the event,
Evergreen.
Yeah. Thank you for recognizing that. And so, at the event or at any community, you dive in, whether it's a Facebook group, a live event, a meetup, you are the 5 people that you surround yourself with, right? You're the average of 5 people. So if you start surrounding yourself with and connecting with people who have shows, it's going to give you the opportunity to get familiar with these people. You'll get some credibility. You can get on their shows. They're going to know what you're all about. They'll refer you to their host friends. And so when you tap into this, like we see this at PodMax all the time, right? You come and you get on the 3 shows as part of the event, but then how many, you know, in my podcast feed, in my social media feed for weeks now, I'm seeing everyone who attended, they're all on each other's shows, because now we're everybody's friends. Everybody's helping each other level up. It's amazing. Right. So another thing is networking and tapping into communities of people who have shows that are relevant, I think is another huge thing. And of course, I just mentioned PodMax is our way of helping people get hooked up immediately, where you get on 3 shows in one day. Not only that, we also talked about the best way from a marketing strategy point of view is to make sure that you have your message nailed down. How do you tell your stories? How do you craft those things in a way that's engaging as a guest? And part of PodMax is going through a little bit of training and learning and practicing so that when you are a guest on your show, you have some stories in your pocket to talk about, you know, the outcomes that you're looking to create. And so you know how to kind of craft your message and talk about those things with the hosts. And of course, the hosts at PodMax are experts at exactly this thing, which is why we think PodMax is the best place in the world to be getting your guest opportunities on, or if you're a host, to be part of the community. So, you know, looking for networks, communities, events that are able to really rapidly put you in touch with these people, help you craft your message, is another way to start expanding your reach and becoming a guest on more shows.
And here's the thing about PodMax, the brand, the experience, certainly culminating with the event, because it is so much more than just this one day event, which is where its roots originated. Today, it's really like speed dating for podcast hosts and their guests. And the more we do it, the more we get the feedback from the hosts that each time the guests are just so polished, so prepared, so ready. And that's not an accident. That's
even the first time guest. Mm-hmm. So at the last event,
yes, you're reading my mind. Go ahead.
At the last event, I subbed in for, I forget if it was you or Eric, but one of the shows in the last 2 I did each, but the guest came in and she was a little nervous. She said, "This is my first time ever being a guest on a show. Let me know how I do." And she, you would never know it. Now, of course, I'm sure in her head there was a lot of chaos going on, because we all feel that way when we're overwhelmed with excitement doing something for the first few times. But as a listener, and even as the host, it seemed like a natural, and it's because of the preparation that you get before the event, in going through those exercises that you take everybody through.
Yeah, because being a guest on a show is a learnable skill. There's a lot of moving parts, from the technical to the technique. And we cover all of it. How do you sound? How do you look? How's your lighting? Great. What stories and messages and themes are you going to open with? Are you going to lead with? Are you going to save for later in the show? Are you going to talk about? Are you not going to talk about? How do you build upon it? We cover all that because it's a learnable skill. The more you guest, the better you get. And that's what we help you through. So find a way to improve.
And you know what they say. You're either making excuses or you're making episodes.
There you go.
I bashed that a little bit. Sorry, guys. Okay.
You want to try it again and then we'll
let's do it again so we can edit in post. Yeah. You know what they say. You're either making episodes or you're making excuses.
I'm sorry.
Third time's a charm here. All right, let's go. All right, Rob, in post, we'll cut this. All right, guys, ready? You know what they say. You're either making excuses or you're making episodes.
Wow, that is absolutely true, Todd. Thank you for putting it so eloquently.
Oh, man. All right. So one last bullet point here on being a guest on shows, and then we'll wrap up. But is it where is it appropriate, if ever, to pay to be a guest on shows? So we know there are some very high level podcasts that you can pay to be on the show, right? So when and where does that make sense? And is that something people should think about doing? What do you think?
There's always an ongoing debate in the industry about this, and it becomes heated, right? People feel very strongly on both sides of the mic, either as hosts or as guests. Regardless, if you do, the host needs to disclose it, because then it's, you know, falls all into those FCC rules, as a paid sponsorship.
You know, I'm curious. So a big name who does this is John Lee Dumas, who... Yeah. And we did talk about this last week on, you know, season 2, episode 7 on airbrands.com/show. John Lee Dumas does this. And we talked last week about how he's probably inundated all the time with blah, 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 and all that stuff. Since then, he's actually on the book circuit. So I've heard him on a few different shows last week. And he does, he said over a million downloads every week. So if you're going to be a guest on a show with that much of an audience, then it's worth it to pay. I think it's $5,000 or something like that. Like, think about the reach, you know, think about the reach that you're getting. And so if you come prepared, you can get a lot out of being on a show like that.
Yeah. From the guest point of view, again, this always gets a lot of heated debate on both sides. I haven't gotten to the point where I've had to make a decision. I want to get on that show. I can get on that show, but there's a price to pay. Do I want to pay it? I have no problem paying it if it makes sense for my goals. Like you just said, haven't gotten there yet. So maybe I'll feel differently if and when it really happens, but I don't care. And we don't charge for our show right now, but I don't feel strongly for hosts that do, especially John, who in his world, great. That's without a charge. Yeah. He's making a significant profit from each guest, but without a charge, how in the world are you even, you know, dealing with that cue? He decided to put a monetary gate in play.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know him personally at all, but I mean, that's almost the kind of thing where it's like, maybe he even donates that money, but it's just a barrier to entry to slow down the cue.
Yeah. Anything is possible. I have no qualms with it on either side of the mic, as long as it's, acknowledged and on the up and legitimized.
And I think making the decision to pay to be a guest is a business investment, right? And so that's what you need to think about, is what am I going to get in return? Now, I don't mean direct. It doesn't have to be a direct return where I'm going to be on the show and if it costs me $5,000 and I have to make 6,000 plus for it to be worth it. But is it just worth the you know, whatever way you could benefit from being on the show, is it worth the money? Because at that point, it is a business investment that you have to think about, which so is your time. You should be thinking about everything like that. But so if you want to be, if you agree with us at this point, which being a guest on a podcast is one of the best, if not the best marketing strategies right now, so that you can borrow that know, like, and trust credibility of the host and their audience, get your message out to the right people immediately. It is super efficient. You know, let's recap. You want to find shows that are, you do a little vetting so you know they're a quality show, whether that's by longevity or ratings, or you just give a listen so you know the host knows what they're talking about and you would feel comfortable being a guest there and that you'd be able to have a good conversation together. You know, then you need to go out and do some outreach. You could do cold outreach yourself. We gave a couple tactics on that. That could be very beneficial. You could go the booking agency route, which is kind of the bland template blasting framework that, you know, usually costs a lot with low volume return. You could go with networking and relationships, start joining communities, which PodMax is one of those communities. You could do events where you get booked on three shows in one day. And, you know, shameless plug here, podmax.co. If you guys want to get into the next event where you can be on those three shows in one day and get the pre-training so that you do have your messages and stories crafted, you know how to be a good polished guest, and you get paired perfectly with the right host from a vibe and topic standpoint that's going to be able to make you really shine, not just for their audience, but also so that you get that content asset and the media appearance of their show that you can use now in your business for much more scalable communications and content and marketing. So podmax.co, if you want to get enrolled in that type of awesome community and event and being hyper efficient with your guest podcasting opportunities. So that is a wrap on this episode. If anybody would love to chime in on more tips or tactics, go to onairbrands.com/show to subscribe or send us a message. We love to hear from you guys. And until next episode, we will catch you then.
You are now tuned in to the On